Support for UpToDate is provided by Geisinger, providing world-class care for our community, here where it matters.
Hello and welcome to UpToDate from WVIA News. I'm Sarah Cinto, here to keep you caught up on all the news you should know about. Today, Monroe County has a new neighborhood hospital. And we'll discuss a three-part series on online gambling in the latest news voices. It's Monday, March 23rd. Let's get you up to date. We'll start off in Monroe County. Lehigh Valley Health Network, part of Jefferson Health, opened Lehigh Valley Hospital Pocono Creek in January. It's what's known as a neighborhood hospital located in Bartonsville, Monroe County. WVIA's Lydia McFarlane reports.
The Monroe County Neighborhood Hospital has been open for almost 2 months. Holly Badali is the health system's chief operating officer for neighborhood hospitals.
Things are going extremely well since we've opened on January 27th. We had a little bit of a snowstorm prior to opening, but it didn't stop us from opening the doors to the community.
The Pennsylvania Department of Health also calls neighborhood hospitals micro-hospitals. They offer closer-to-home care.
They're designed to complement traditional hospitals, not replace them. They do provide emergency care, imaging, lab services, and short-term inpatient stays. But for patients requiring those higher, more specialized care, we seamlessly transfer them to one of our larger facilities.
The hospital has 11 emergency department beds. There are also 10 acute care beds for patients that need overnight stays. The Pocono Creek Hospital is the health system's third neighborhood hospital.
Some people have asked why micro-hospitals are now evolving, but healthcare is evolving, and as we see communities growing, they allow health systems to respond to that growth by placing these smaller hospitals within the communities that need them to improve access, reduce travel times.
A fourth is expected to open in Northampton County in early 2027. For WVIA News, I'm Lydia McFarlane.
Thanks, Lydia. Find more of this story at WVIA.org. In local politics now, a state appeals court judge says a Republican Luzerne County State House candidate can stay on the primary election ballot. WVIA's Boris Krauchenyuk has the details.
A Commonwealth Court judge said Luzerne County State Representative candidate Bill Jones can stay on the primary election ballot. The decision means Jones will face incumbent Representative Jamie Walsh for the Republican nomination for the 117th House District seat. The district is in southern Luzerne County. A Republican voter said Jones left a line on his candidate affidavit blank, so he shouldn't be allowed to run. The line had to do with where Jones votes. The judge said that's not a reason to throw someone off the ballot. Jones told WVIA News he wasn't trying to hide anything, he just made a mistake. The primary election is May 19th. The Republican winner will face Democrat Jeremy Ben Scoter in November. I'm Boris Krauchenyuk, WVIA News.
Thanks, Boris. Stay with us. There's more up to date after this break.
The work we do is only possible thanks to your support. I'm Lydia McFarlane, healthcare reporter for WVIA News. We're proud to bring you the best news and information out there. Go to wvia.org/news to see for yourself.
Welcome back. Now, over the weekend, WVIA News shared a three-part series on online gambling. WVIA's Roger Dupuy, the author, also joined me for News Voices to discuss this topic. Here's more.
Hello and welcome to News Voices, your weekly look behind the scenes at WVIA News. I'm Sarah Cinto. Thanks for joining us. Turn on any TV show or streaming service and ads for gambling seem inescapable. Whether it's casinos, apps, or sports betting, there are more legal ways to gamble than ever before. That means big money, but it can also mean more risk of addiction. WVIA's Roger Dupuy has been covering this issue for the next episode of Keystone Edition. Hi, Roger.
Hi, good morning, Sarah.
Good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So let's start with the beginning of this gambling boom in Pennsylvania, which was Act 42 of 2017.
Correct.
What was that? What did it do?
Okay, so Governor Wolf, at the end of October of 2017, signed a bill that legalized online gambling. It also expanded casino gambling in the state and permitted video gambling terminals at truck stops and airports.
Okay, so how has that changed things in the around 10 years since it was signed?
Immeasurably. Sorry. So it's changed things immeasurably. What we've seen is that there's just been this explosion of interest in online gambling. And some of that was fueled by the pandemic, right? So that folks who could not go to a brick and mortar casino during that period turned to online gambling because it was an escape and it was something that they could do from the privacy of their own home. And what we've seen is that online gambling has begun to eclipse casino slot gambling in terms of revenue in the state. So that should tell you something. This is less than a decade.
Yeah, and you just touched on this a little bit, but how popular has online gambling, specifically sports betting, become over this period of time?
Yes. So some statistics for you. The Pennsylvania Department of Drug and Alcohol Programs, in conjunction with Penn State and the Gaming Control Board, does an annual assessment. They conduct a report on the impacts of interactive gambling in the state. And in 2025, between 17% and 30% of adult Pennsylvanians engaged in some form of online gambling. Over 50% of the calls to the council's 1-800-GAMBLER line specifically mentioned online gambling as the most problematic form for the callers. And sports betting was the most popular online format for online gambling.
Why does it seem that these online platforms and sports betting in particular have become so popular and in some cases so addictive?
It is. Think of it as a casino in your pocket, right? So you don't need to run to, you know, the casino or bingo parlor or your bookie, if you will. You can gamble from the privacy of your own home, from your car. Let's be honest, at work, if you have the phone with you. So I think for a lot of folks who are interested, and particularly a lot of younger folks who wouldn't necessarily go to some of those traditional gambling methods, this is the easiest and, most addictive way to engage in their habit.
So continuing off of that, what are some of the downsides to all of this that you've encountered in your reporting?
Right. For some people, listen, it is a true addiction. And it leads to financial problems in their families and in some cases legal problems if they spend more or end up taking money from places they shouldn't to cover their losses. And so it's every bit as problematic as we've seen over the years with some other forms of gambling. It is a true addiction. I know a lot of folks may not see it that way, but the councils who I spoke with and who you'll read about in my story and see on Keystone Edition talk a lot about how this is a very real problem for folks.
Mm-hmm. Now, was there anything that was surprising to you in the course of your reporting on this?
Sadly, no, to be honest with you, but something that you may find a little bit interesting or disturbing. I don't gamble other than the occasional lottery ticket, right? And I'm not judging anyone does. But in the process of reporting this story, there were times when gambling apps and ads popped up on my work computer and on my phone. And it was just a little bit chilling, right? That you know, we all joke about the phones listening. They do.
Absolutely.
They do. And it just struck me how easy it is for someone who may be prone to the suggestion to take up these apps, to go back to what you were asking before. It's right there in front of you.
All right. Well, thank you, Roger. And for more on this topic, you can join our panel of experts for Keystone Edition, Online Betting, Gambling with Our Future, tonight at 7 on WVIA-TV. Okay, one last thing for you today. Let's take a look back at This Week in History with WVIA's Julie Sidoni.
This Week in History, a brief look at some of the biggest happenings here at home and around the world March 23rd through the 29th. In 1912, First Lady Helen Taft, along with the wife of the Japanese ambassador, plant two cherry trees along the banks of the Potomac River. It commemorates the Japanese government's gift of more than 3,000 cherry trees to the United States. 1953, this is the week Dr. Jonas Salk announces a successful attempt at creating a vaccine against the virus that causes polio. 1979, here in Pennsylvania, one of the worst nuclear accidents in the history of the industry. A valve malfunction at Three Mile Island leads to some panic, not to mention evacuations in the Harrisburg area. And in 1982, 19-year-old freshman basketball player Michael Jordan makes a jump shot with seconds left in the game to give the North Carolina Tar Heels the win in the NCAA Tournament Championship. That's This Week in History. I'm Julie Sidoni, WVIA News.
All right, I hope you're feeling up to date and ready to start the week. Find more stories at WVIA.org. I'm Sarah Cinto. Thanks for joining me today. If you want to stay in the know, make sure you subscribe and listen every weekday wherever you get your podcasts. Have a great day, everyone. I'll catch you tomorrow, right here on Up to Date.